Hello and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances and I'll be your hostess. Hello, hello. This is episode 102 and welcome to it. It's Thursday. I'm back to being a Thursday girl. Did that by skipping being a Sunday girl earlier in the week, which I had planned on doing and then decided not to. Anyway, it is October 25th. Yay, love October. I guess we're almost at the end of October, but that's okay. It's really quite beautiful. And moving into some rain this weekend, good quilting weather. In fact, tomorrow, remind me, I'm going to bring in some firewood from the pile, the wood pile. Remind me to wear my gloves and jeans in case there's snakes in there. And maybe we'll have a fire this weekend. That would be nice. Let's see. What to tell you? I think I've said it all in the quilt diaries. And I didn't get a ton of comments because I think last week's posting schedule was a little erratic and people get thrown off by that, but I did get some and I surely appreciate every single one that I received. Just got a comment over on my Podbean site from Emily wanting to know if I was going to Annie Smith's class at Thimble Pleasures on the 15th. I don't know. I'm having problems scheduling November because we have to fit in a visit to my mother-in-law in Charlotte, and we have not gotten that on the table yet, and that is holding a lot of things up. Sort of party invitations that have come in for the boys and that sort of thing. So it may be I'm going to be out of town that weekend, but if not, I'm going to try to get over there. Let me know if you'll be there. It sounded like you would. That would be great. It would be fun to meet you. I've gotten a fair amount of comments that have popped around to different episodes as people get caught up. So there may be just a touch of overlap here from last time, but I don't want to miss anyone. I heard from Sue S. Tanisha saying congratulations on 100 wonderful episodes. Thank you, Tanisha. I'm sure if you're listening to my episode, girls, you're listening to Tanisha's over at Crafty Garden Moms, and you know how wonderful she is. Heard from Kelly the Fifth. Yay. Kate from Quilting Daydreams, who sounds like she doesn't have time or a place to actually quilt herself right now. Her life has been insane, she writes that in all caps, for the last year, and quilting has been pushed aside. Well, Kate, at least you're still listening to the podcast. You're keeping inspired, and I hope you're going to be able to find some time. I know you've got a house full of little ones, but they'll get bigger, and you'll get back to quilting. In the meantime, keep listening, and I'm really happy that you are listening. Heard from Tori, who mentioned Duke Chapel, which I must have mentioned. Who knows, Tori? I don't remember anything I say. And she says, and I don't know if you've ever seen Duke Chapel. Tori has, but if other people listen, it is a very beautiful building. She says it's one of the most amazing buildings she's ever seen. She always pictures it when she reads the Starbridge series of novels by Susan Howatch. Glittering Images is the first one. I will have to check that out. Any book that makes you think of Gothic architecture could be quite interesting. And I heard from Quilt and Jenny, who A, read Where'd You Go, Bernadette, and loved it. I would continue to recommend this to people. Very fun book, very fun book. And said that she did not mind my rambly episodes. Thank you, Jenny, because sometimes I feel like that's mostly what I'm giving you guys. This one's pretty quilty. Not all quilty, because you know, I'm never all quilty, because my life is not 100% quilty. But there's a lot of quilting stuff. So I hope you enjoy it. I would love to hear from you. Telepathically or otherwise, if you want to actually put something in writing, go ahead and comment over at theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. I will have some pictures up this time, or offkilterquilt.podbean.com. And you can also email me at fdowell@nc.rr.com. I was cleaning out my email box, and Chris, I still owe you an email from way back, and I'm going to do it. Maybe this weekend. Maybe this is going to be a catching up weekend. I hope so. It's going to be rainy, like I said, so that could be some good catching up, quilting, and going through my recipe books. I started doing that last summer. I probably talked about it, where I have all these recipes I've torn out of magazines, and I finally started actually putting them into sleeves. Still doesn't mean I've cooked them. I want to do, you know, like the Julie Julia thing, or Julie Powell cook through the art of mastering French cooking, whatever that was, by Julia Child. I want to read the new Julia Child biography, complete aside, but I do. But anyway, I thought I should like make it. I probably have 2 years worth of recipes in my various binders and stacks of recipes that I've torn out. of magazines. I get Cooking Light. My mother-in-law has given me a subscription for years and years, which I love, and I do cook a lot. I'm also really enjoying this magazine called Eating Well. It's very nice, very healthy recipes. And so recently I've been getting that and tearing out recipes. I could go through all my recipes that I've collected and get out all the doubles because, you know, obviously you like certain dishes, and if you see a recipe that's sort of similar to a dish you like, you would pull it out. So I think I probably have about 7 sesame noodle recipes in this pile of stuff. But so get rid of all the duplicates and triplicates and quadruples, and then cook through all these recipes. The problem I would have is I would be the only one eating 40%, 70%, anything with stinky cheese or spices or what have you. The man would give it a go. I live with the meat and potatoes crew, and sometimes as you're reading through a magazine, a food magazine, and going, oh, I'd love to try that, I'd love to try that. You know, it's always a little depressing because you're thinking, but they wouldn't eat it. So this is one last thing and then I'm going. I had lunch with my neighbor lady friends down the street, Amy and Catherine. They're a little bit older. Catherine is not much older. Catherine is only 50, so she's only a couple years older, has 4 children, and her youngest just left for college. So she started having babies a lot sooner than I did. And it was interesting talking to her and talking to Amy about just stuff they're going through. Amy's has 2 daughters. Amy's a little bit older, so I would say in her mid to late 50s. Anyway, and her younger daughter is in her second year of college. So they're both kind of dealing with empty nest stuff. And, you know, I've got to tell you, I'm going to ramble here because I'm like, why did I bring up? I'm going to have to pause and see if I can remember why I brought up my lunch with my neighbor lady friends. There was a point talking about recipes, talking about food. Ah, I remember. We were talking about, they were talking about, you know, what you look forward to. Both of them slept in this morning. They were supposed to walk together. They're old, old buds. And they were supposed to walk together. And Amy texted Catherine at 8 and never heard back. And so she went back to bed, figuring that Catherine's text would wake her up. And Catherine's text never came. And Amy woke up at 9:30. And it turned out that Catherine had slept in too because she'd had a hard time going to sleep last night. On and on and on. Anyway, so I said, well, that sounds very fun. I said, that's the thing. I said, I do not wish my children out of my house. I really enjoy their company. But I have to say that is one thing I'm looking forward to being able to sleep in. Yeah, not necessarily till 9:20, but sleep in till I'm ready to get up. And the other thing I really look forward to is to be able to cook whatever I want. Because the man will. He's game. He'll give stuff a try. And he's pretty good about telling me nicely when he would wish I would not try something a second time. But if he likes something, then he's very enthusiastic about it. Anyway, so that's why I was thinking of them, that yes, because those are a couple things I do think about when my children are up and gone. I will be able to cook a little more adventuresomely, and I look forward to that. Although, you know what, both Amy and Catherine seem to be pretty sad about their kids being gone, even though in some ways they were ready, and they're not you know, dramatic or psychologically unbalanced about it. They're just like, yeah, we miss our kids. And it really changes things. And Catherine was talking about how it affects your marriage because for so long you've had these kids around and suddenly there's no buffers and there's just you and your husband. And if there's anything you don't particularly like about your husband or if there's something that really irritates you, there's nothing to distract you from that. Fortunately, very little about the man irritates me. And the things that do, and I won't even mention the fact that he'll make a peanut butter sandwich and not put the peanut butter away. My theory is for every one thing he does that irritates me, I do two that irritate him. And that keeps me on my game. So, don't know how I got on the cooking, but I did. And yes, and we're rambling and we're going on to 45 minutes. So, hey, I'm going to end this here and we're going to go to the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, Day 1. It's Thursday, October 18th. I don't think I'll be posting an episode today. I just posted one on Sunday. So I'm thinking what I'm going to do is post an episode maybe Saturday and sort of back my way back into Thursday. It has been a somewhat quilty week this week in that I finally have the borders on the golden quilt. And I am wondering about the second border, which is a 6-inch border from this beautiful gold and white fabric I love. It feels light, color-wise or hue-wise or whatever-wise. It does match the golds, the lightness of the golds in the quilt, so we are not introducing a new issue with this border. But it's such a broad border, it feels like, wow, that's a lot of a light color on the outside. But I think it's going to work once I get it quilted and put on the binding. And, of course, the binding I see as being, you know, I may do blue. The obvious thing seems to do a red, but there is blue in the quilt. And just to sort of give a nod to that blue in the quilt, I think that's going to settle the gold down. I'm also thinking about ordering some quilting papers, machine quilting paper from Keepsake Quilts. I was looking at the most recent catalog, and I noticed that they have these rolls of quilting paper with patterns, and they promise that they tear right out. They tear right off the quilt once you have actually stitched into them. We will see about that. But what I was actually especially interested in was the border quilting designs they have, because I don't quilt borders all that interestingly, if I quilt them at all. You know, I made that blue and white quilt for Will last year, and I didn't quilt the borders and then regretted it. But I haven't quite figured out what to do. Obviously, you can always stipple or spiral or what have you, and so that's usually what I do. But there were some very, very pretty patterns. I think it costs like $15 or $16 for a 26-foot roll. So, and the rolls, and the paper has adhesive on the back, which that, my friend, is in itself perhaps worth the price of admission, because when I was quilting, what was I quilting? I guess Rick's quilt. Was it? No. Maybe it was this quilt that my feet are on right now, the Hidden Stars quilt, where I was using, what was it? No. It was the Hexagon Garden quilt where I was using paper and taping on the paper with painter's tape, and you know, it's kind of a pain. So I love the idea that this paper comes with adhesive. There is also their quilting patterns, you know, not just for the main quilt, for the main event. It's interesting because some of them are just stippling. I'm like, you know, I think we can all do stippling on our own without the help of paper. But one of the patterns was a very pretty rose pattern, and I thought that might look nice with the golden quilt. So I'm thinking about making that investment. And I'll let you know how it works. But I'm thinking ahead to the quilting. And of course, always thinking I need to take the crafty class. I need to get better at this. I need to learn. You know, because I want to learn. I want to get better. But I always have that feeling. Well, someone told me, one of you kind listeners, did let me know that once you get the crafty class, it's yours for life. And so I should do that. I'm always afraid that I'll like spend that money and then not ever watch the class, which is kind of a waste of money and something that I have done in the past. What else to tell you? Oh, you know, this is what I was thinking about with quilting recently. This fall, first of all, so it's just, all it is October 18th. So we've been in school about 2 months now, which is really no time at all. And in some ways it feels like years. It feels like it's been years since last summer. I just can't even explain my sense of time. It also feels like a blink of the eye. Like, wasn't it just summer? How could it be October 18th? And the other way is like, wasn't summer 5 years ago? You know, how can it just be 2012? It feels like it's, you know, 2017. What happened? It's been very odd. And I think it's been a busy fall. Fall is always busy. I was looking at my journal the other day, and you know, it's always interesting to go. I started this journal in the summer, last summer. So I have a year's worth, and I'm not a constant journaler, but I go through periods where I write a lot, and it's very therapeutic, and I enjoy it, and it's fun to go back to, you know, like October 18th last year and say, what was I thinking about? What was I writing about? And a lot of it's like, I feel really busy. Too much is going on. And I thought, you know, I think October and May are similar months. They're months that you want to enjoy so much. They're, I think, the two most beautiful months of the year. And there's always too much going on. And so you always have that feeling like, I can't enjoy this month. It's my favorite month. And I could not tell you which month is more my favorite. I would probably lean toward October. May is my birthday month, so it gets a big thumbs up too. this October has been nice because Will is not playing lacrosse, so we don't have our weekends automatically loaded with stuff to do, and in fact have been really kind of not doing much at all. I have friends who are appalled by how little we do. They don't get it. They're like, what's with you people? But it just seems to be our family's style, I think, for both me and the man. We just grew up in a time where weekends, when you were a kid, you kind of just went outside and played. And I know life is more structured, but I don't know that we just have it in us to fill up the weekends with things to do. Now, this weekend, I want to go over to Hillsboro for their Roots Festival, mostly because at 2 p.m., they have a handmade parade. And every year, there's a theme. If I had known about this, I would have tried to get Will to make something, although Will is not a parader. I have to tell you, Will has not been baptized because I am married to a Southern Baptist who does not believe in baptizing children until they say, "I want to be baptized." And in Will's case, that may be like when he's 47. I don't have great faith he's going to come to that on his own. But I have to tell you, we will have to have sort of a private, behind-the-scenes baptism. We go to Duke Chapel. It's huge. There could be 1,000 people there. Usually not, but it's a big space and it's a big congregation. And there's no way in the world that Will would go up front and be baptized in front of all those people. It is just so not in his nature. So we're going to have to, you know, do like a baptism after the service. So the idea that he would love to make something, Will loves making stuff, but the idea that he would parade it in front of a crowd, like, I don't think so. But I do want to go, and I love the idea of the people, just a handmade, homemade kind of parade just tickles me. So hopefully I'm going to get my boys to go, and maybe even the man will go. I don't know. So that is something we will do this weekend. We might even try to get the whole family to go to church. Anyway, so here it is, October, and it is busy, and I'm doing new things. I have some new people in my life, some new friends, which is very fun. Some of these are friendships that sort of started building last spring and have continued, and I'm enjoying that and doing a lot of lunching, perhaps more lunching than I can afford. But I love lunch. It's my favorite meal. So, and I'm also meeting with a personal trainer once a month, Rebecca, who I really, really like, and she's helping me do some things, getting some flexibility, especially my hips, which get really tight. Part of that, I think, is being perimenopausal, and part of that is because I sit on my butt all day and write books. But that's a little bit new, and just some new things. And so, you know, I found myself last week kind of feeling ungrounded, you know, unmoored in some way. And I'm thinking, why do I feel this? Like, well, because there is a lot going on, and it's new stuff, and so you kind of feel discombobulated. You know, where is the center? Where is, you know, and of course, in some of my family is the center and the man is the center. And so there's that. But I thought, you know, I wasn't doing a lot of quilting. I was doing some mixed media art stuff that I truly love doing. Actually, what I truly love is the finished product. I don't always love doing it. And part of that, I think, is being somewhat of a perfectionist and wanting my collage or my whatever just to be really cool looking and right away, and being real, I want to be really good at it right away. I'm like, you know, just play. You know, I'm still trying to get myself just to play and fail and make mistakes. And I'm getting better at doing that. And I love the finished results, but I think there's some tension in the creative process itself. I'm like, am I messing this up? I've taken some pictures of some of the stuff I've done. I'm going to post those this week. But that's something new too, you know? So I was just kind of feeling discombobulated. Like, what can I do? And I'm like, get back to some of your old routines. And that got me back to the sewing machine. A friend of mine, Daniil, who I've not spent a lot of time with, we didn't have a falling out, but there's some issues. I don't know, I won't go into it, but she's kind of having a hard time, and I was sort of pushing her to maybe get some therapy and maybe work through some stuff, and she did not like that. She is Midwestern. She's very reserved. She's a great person. I love her dearly, but there are people who are just very resistant to the idea of therapy at all, and she didn't like that. and that I suggested that, and she did some pushback in a kind of, what is that called when you do this? I'm going to pause so I can remember. I think it's gaslighting. Is that it? Where you try to make someone else feel crazy so that, so is that the movie Gaslight, where that's you try to make someone else think they're crazy so that they won't realize that actually they're onto the truth? Or, and it's an interesting thing to talk to people about. I think that happens a lot in relationships. And I've not really had a friend do that to me, but that's kind of what Danielle was doing. She was sort of like, oh, you thought I was having a bad time, a hard time. I wasn't having a hard time. I was just being a little emotional. It was the Irish in me. There were no problems. And when she said that to me, and I just kind of looked at her like, yeah, there were problems, and you can deal with them or not deal with them, but don't try to make me feel like I was crazy to try to help you. That, I think, has put some distance between us. And yet, you know what? I really do love her. And she seems like she's in a better place. She's got her stuff to deal with, as do we all. And I think sometimes, because she is a dramatic personality, I think sometimes stuff weighs very heavily on her. She doesn't have a lot of filters and, to keep stuff out. She's not, it's, anyway, long story. But I have missed her. And, and she came over on Monday, and her family just took this trip to Boston. Her children are in year-round school, so they had their big break, their big fall break, and that's what they did, and they had a great trip. And Danielle, I'll tell you what, if you want to feel patriotic and excited about American history, she is your woman. She gets into this stuff. We go to her house for 4th of July every year. It's very fun. So far, we have not done a reading of the Constitution, but I think that's probably coming. As the children get older, that's probably going to be part of the party. And so it was very fun. They went to the John Adams home and, did all kinds of things, but that's what I would really love to do. In fact, just after I talked to her, I put the John Adams miniseries on hold at the library. In fact, it's waiting for me at the library, which I've already seen like 2 or 3 times, but I'm like, oh, I want to watch John Adams again. I love the Founding Fathers. So that'll be a good thing for quilting. As well as my quilting time and watching John Adams and feeling patriotic. But anyway, it was great to see her. We've been friends for 14 years, and it was great to see her in really good Danielle mode, and just at her best, excited, enthusiastic, passionate and engaged. And so that was really good to spend time with her, and also to spend time quilting. It's part of the fabric of my life now. But it really is. And it's over the last few years, it's just become a constant. I always have a project. I often have 3 projects. It's very grounding for me to sew and to work on a project. And as someone who's in general a project person, to have any project going is good, and it does settle me down. But particularly quilting. It's like, oh, this is what I do, and then it puts me into the community again, and I feel like there is this really great community of quilters online that we podcast listeners and podcast producers, who are also, of course, podcast listeners, that we're all a part of. And I find that, and so it's like, oh, good, and so I feel like, okay, I'm going to reconnect with all the wonderful people who I hear from, at least spiritually and psychically, as I am quilting. I'm part of your community again. I'm waving my hands around. You can't see this, but also, listening to the podcast that I love to listen to, and reconnecting with my podcasting friends. And it just kind of settles me down and centers me in a way that's really good. And I was so happy that I figured out, oh, that's what I need to do right now. There's so much swirling activity going on all around me, and new things and some new friends, and it's all good and exciting. But I need to be grounded in things that I feel very strongly connected to and are just part of my foundation. So that was a good thing. So if you're ever feeling discombobulated, go to your sewing machine, start sewing, and listen to podcasts, and just ground yourself in the community that we've created. Okay, well, I think that's it for today's Quilt Diary. I am going to go to work, and then I will hopefully in the next couple days be doing lots of work on both the mosaic quilt and my kind of free form, don't know quite what I have in mind, but just want to play around. I don't even know if that's a quilt. It's just an idea. So I'll be working on that idea, and I will talk about it, and then I will post. Happy day. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Quilt Diary, Day 2. It's Saturday morning. It's October 20th. Beautiful, beautiful morning. It's going to be 72 today. Clear, sunny. I guess clear implies sunny. It's about 10:20. Will's friend Wynn is supposed to be over here at 10. Wynn, lovely child. Very lovely parents. I really like his family. Pleased that Wynn and Will are friends. But they tend to run late. And Will loves Wynn. They have been friends since kindergarten. They're an interesting duo. You know, the other friend of Will's I've talked about over the last couple of years is Gav, who seems in some ways a better match for Will. And Gavin is great, and he and Will are, I think Will would definitely consider Gavin his other best friend, but he is really attached to Wynn, who's very quiet. For a long time, it was hard having play dates with him over here because he was scared to death of Travis, but he's really matured out of that, and I'm very proud of him for dealing with that. Anyway, but his family runs late. And you know, you have people in your lives who run late, and you know who they are, and I know that when Wynn's mom says they'll be here at 10, it's going to be 10:15. Now it's actually 10:25. And Will's very excited about Wynn coming over this morning, and he was talking yesterday. He's like, oh, I'm going to have a hard time sleeping. He actually slept till about 8:45, so he did fine. But nonetheless, and you can tell he's like really bummed that Wynn is late. But there's nothing you can do. I have another friend, my friend Amy, who is lovely and does not show up on time. Like if we go to the pool together and she lives in my old neighborhood and we still go to our old neighborhood pool. And if Miss Amy says they'll be there between 1 and 1:30, you know they're going to be there about 1:45. It's just how they roll. And, you know, when you know that about someone, you just kind of calculate it. You know, it's like, well, we'll get there around. We won't get there too early because they're not going to be there too early. But it kind of bums me out for Will, because he's so excited about Wynn coming over. And I'm just kind of like, you know, we're really working on 30 minutes late here. But it's also just Saturday morning. You don't want it to be like, you know, a strict schedule. Come on, people, get over here. But at the same time, you're like, come on, guys. So I am sitting here. I'm listening to Tanisha, not her most recent podcast, but her one at I think it's the September 24th. Really enjoying it. I love hearing about her girls. Her girls are younger than my boys, but not so much younger that I have forgotten kindergarten and early childhood when the baby is really kind of becoming a toddler and talking and all that. So it's very fun. So it's a good Saturday morning. Still thinking about the need to be grounded. And I'm wondering, actually, are you feeling at all discombobulated this October? Because sometimes when I feel like this in this sort of general way, and then I'll talk to friends, and they're like, yeah, I've kind of been feeling that way too, you know? So, I mean, I believe in the zeitgeist. I believe we're all kind of imbibing and breathing in the same culture and the same stress and the same issues, although we do have our own personal idiosyncrasies and issues and what have you. But it's interesting to me how often I find that people are thinking about the same things I am or having the same kind of feelings, even very general kind of feeling unsettled, ungrounded. But it's been very nice to sit here and work on some mosaic blocks and listen to Tanisha and kind of get irritated. That's not the nice part, but it's part of life too, right? Kind of thinking, get here because you hurt my kids' feelings. It's not Wynn's fault, and it's Saturday morning again. I want to be cash, but there you have it. I will probably come back later in the day. We are going to Hillsboro this afternoon, as I think I mentioned, for the Roots Festival to see the handmade parade. Very excited about that. So hopefully we'll have a good report. Might even try to take pictures. I don't know. I'm actually, you know, the other thing I'm going to do this weekend is the Durham Orange Quilt Guild show. It's a biannual show. If you have been with me for a couple years, you know that I had a traumatic experience at the last one where my quilt got hung way in the back of the corner. It wasn't a good quilt, and no one knew who I was. Completely understandable. Still hurt my feelings. So it's going to be really nice just to go and not have a quilt in the corner or anywhere and just enjoy. And I think I'm going to do that tomorrow after church. It's go and and really enjoy and see what's going on and get inspired. But I thought about it yesterday. I'm like, well, you're going to take pictures. And the problem with that is you just, once you start taking pictures, it's hard to stop and you feel like you need to take a picture of everything. And I think I'd rather just enjoy the show. Maybe what I'll do is I'll walk and wander and look, and then my second time around, maybe just take pictures of the things that were my absolute favorite things. But I'm looking forward to it. And I will give a report on that too, although I don't know when I'm going to post this. I suspect it will be tomorrow. That's what I suspect. We shall see. I was hoping it would be today, and maybe it will be today, because I'm trying to edge my way back to Thursday. I'll get there. Anyway, I'm going to go back to sewing and hoping that Wynn gets here soon and Will doesn't get too depressed. Okay, more later.
Quilt Diary, day two? I guess. It's been since Saturday, I think. Saturday, when I was saying that I would get this posted Sunday. But you know what? I made an executive decision, which is easy to do since I'm the only one running this joint, that I was just going to get back into my Thursday schedule and post this on Thursday. But I didn't tell you. But I hope you don't mind. Anyway, it is Thursday. It is October 25th. Today marks, well, one thing it marks is 2 months until Christmas. Oh my goodness. But it also marks my 21st anniversary of knowing the man. We met 25 years ago on this day in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And we have been married 18 years. So we went out for 3 years. But we met, and that was that. It was love at first sight. And I never dated or kissed anyone else after that. So anyway, it's been a good 21 years. He's a very nice man, this man I call the man. Anyway, let me give you a brief update, and then later this afternoon I'm going to come back and record the beginning and get this posted, and then we will be Thursday girls once again. Sunday, I went to the Durham Orange Quilt Guild biannual, or is it biannual or biennial? But whatever. Once every 2 years show. Those of you who are longtime listeners, of course, remember. And I probably mentioned this in the last quilt diary, but of course, that I had a quilt last time that was hung in the corner. And in fact, one of the first things I did, the show was in the same space, I went to my corner. And you know what was funny is, first of all, there were as many quilts in this year's show as last year. And I remember where my corner was, and I remember how my quilt was really just kind of facing the back wall. And there was a quilt there, but it actually was a prize-winning quilt. It must have been a prize-winning quilt that someone didn't really much care for. There was a demonstration table back there. It was a much livelier spot this time around. But overall, I don't know. It's hard because, you know, the last quilt show I went to was the Mid-Atlantic Quilt Show in Hampton, Virginia, where we had the podcasters meet up, and that was a huge show. And so I think that in comparison, most local shows would seem pretty small. So that may be part of my perspective, but it did just seem a bit smaller. Lots of beautiful quilts, of course. It was interesting to me, especially again after Hampton, where the Mid-Atlantic Quilt Show, I swear there was a huge number of art quilts. And in this show, there were not very many. There were there were several, and a couple of which were beautiful and really interesting. A couple were just sort of art quilts, quote unquote, and they were like somebody's dog, you know, which is fine. I have nothing, you know, I love dogs, but not a sort of innovative kind of quilt. Most of the quilts were traditionally pieced quilts. There were a few modern quilts, not many. This is the first year, apparently, that there's even been a modern quilt category. And I was surprised not to see more, because the Modern Quilt Guild here is very active, and there is overlap between the Modern Quilt Guild and the Durham Orange County Quilt Guild. You know, I don't think there's a lot of hostility between the two groups. I mean, I'm sure that my guess is the Durham Orange County Quilt Guild doesn't really know that the Modern Quilt Guild exists. But I know a lot of the people in the Modern Quilt Guild were also members of the DOQ Quilt Guild. So that surprised me that there were so few modern quilts there. A lot of beautiful quilts. Some really, really humongous quilts, which I remember they had those last time, you know, sort of bigger than king size, they felt to me, you know, just Mammer Jammer quilts. It's just, I looked at them like they were beautiful, but they made me tired because, like, wow, that must have taken like 10 years to do. Interesting thing is that so many of the quilts in the show that were machine quilted were all quilted, not all, but a really high percentage of the quilts were all quilted by the same woman who also had quilts in the show. And in fact, her quilts were really, really nice. And the quilting, I thought the quilting was very nice. Her quilting was very nice. So I wasn't overwhelmed. I took some pictures. I'll have to look at them and see if I want to load any up onto the blogs for you to see. But I spent about an hour. I voted for my favorite quilts, and I did definitely have some favorites. I had, you know, because I'm a little bit of a competitive person, I was sort of like, you know, thinking about quilts I've done this year. Like, oh, you know, that I could have, you know, I'm not a member of the guild right now because it does a Monday night thing. Just can't do Monday nights right now. But if I remember, you know, thinking of like what quilts would I have submitted? Would I have done that? I mean, my quilts are much better now than they were 2 years ago. But, you know, so I was kind of thinking, well, I could have beat out that quilt. I could have beat it, you know. So that kind of obnoxious kind of thinking you get when you're feeling defensive and remembering how they put your quilt in the corner last time. Nice show. One of these days I may get back to being a member. As long as I've got Monday nights, just when they meet like every third Monday. And right now that's not working out for me because that's when I've got my Bible study, which is not the kind of thing you can just miss. So we shall see. Hope I'm not repeating myself too much from Saturday, since Saturday's a long time ago in my head. Anyway, things are going fine. I'm writing a lot. In fact, right now I'm just taking a little break from writing, and I need to get back to it, but I wanted to check in. Have not done a ton of quilting this week, but I'm hoping I'm going to have a big weekend of quilting. Got out some art quilt books, or some, you know, the Ruth McDowell? Yeah, I think it is. Anyway, one of her books that I think someone lent me, I think maybe Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us lent me. Sandy, you'll have to remind me, but I think you did. And so I've thought about maybe messing around a little bit with piecing, with doing some funky piecing and seeing what I can come up with and sort of being willing to fail at that. I'm getting better at failure. And just playing around. So I did some playing around last week, but just kind of came up with squares, and which was fun. I don't think I've taken a picture. I just did a very small piece where I was just messing around with fabrics and colors and placement, but it wasn't as far as design. It was nothing. So and so looking at the Ruth McDowell book on piecing, I thought this is kind of what I should play with a little bit and see if I can do a tree. You know, because I love trees, and I would love to do a little art quilt, little hanging quilt. But I also really want to finish my mosaic, and I don't know why I have not quilted. I've done some knitting this week, working on socks for Christmas. It's been a busy week. It's just been a busy time, and usual excuses apply, I guess. Got the new Wendell Berry book, A Place in Time. And have read several of the stories. It's wonderful. He's such a wonderful writer. It's a very fine book. I picked up a magazine, not a quilting magazine, but I'll tell you. So this is Mother Earth Living, which I think may be, no, it comes out every 2 months. I'm sorry, it comes out 6 times a year. So it's obviously from the publishers of Mother Earth News. But I got it because it's their November-December issue, and the big title story is Cures in Your Cupboard, 53 Foods and Herbs That Fight Disease, and there was stuff on immunity boosting, which is what I'm all about these days. I haven't gotten a cold so far this season, knock wood or knock on your computer, and I've just got one little stomach bug, which I think is from eating too many salads with vinaigrette. I'm starting to wonder, this is very separate from the stuff that was going on this summer, but I had been eating a lot of high acidity foods, and I had been feeling bad a couple of days. I thought, you know what, I'm going to eat some oatmeal and some bread, and I did, and then I really felt better very quickly, so I thought maybe my stomach was acidy, and I neutralized that, and I'm wondering, after a couple of years of trying to maintain a low-carb diet, if maybe I need to change my diet a little bit, keep out the refined carbs, which we all know are quite bad for you, Keep the sugar low, keep the white food low, but maybe introduce some more carbs. Although I love vinaigrette and I love marinated things. But anyway, but I sometimes feel like my immunity system, my immune system could use a boost. So I was very excited. You know, I love the idea of natural remedies. You know, and most of the stuff is like, you know, get enough sleep, work out. And I do those things. I try to get enough sleep. I go to bed on time. Sometimes I wake up like at 2 or at 4 and just can't get back to sleep for a while. Yesterday morning, I woke up at 5 and couldn't go back to sleep. Now, if I hadn't had to get up at 7, I probably could have fallen back asleep and slept till 9, but that didn't work out. Anyway, so it's neat. It's a, if you're kind of looking for a good overview, and it's a lot of stuff on what toxins to avoid and what additives to avoid, stuff like that. I don't know, this time of year, I really like thinking about making soups and cooking with roots. I mean, like, you know, roots like root vegetables and all of that. And since I've decided to kind of ease off the low carb, just again, keeping it low refined carbs, but boosting the complex carbs, I am excited to be looking at all, like, what can I do with parsnips this year? So I did pick that up. I'm trying to think if I'm reading anything else besides the Wendell Berry. And I'm not really. Actually, I'll tell you what. I don't think I mentioned this. Did I mention this Saturday? I'm so sorry. Just, you know, bear with me. But I picked up yet again the first book in the Jan Caron's Mitford series, because I've always wanted to love these books. And you know what? I do like the first one. I've read the first one a couple times, and I was reading it, and just in kind of, you know, I was talking about not feeling grounded. And, you know, there's something very grounding about Father Tim and that cast of characters. And to be honest, I've been reading a lot of the Foxfire books, and one thing that has always kind of bugged me is the dialect. Gosh, I feel like I've already said all this. Have I already said all this? No, because I don't think I had read it on Saturday. I don't think I went to look for the book on Saturday. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I'm just going to stop because I fear I have said this, but I'm rereading the first Mitford book and it's lovely. And I think it's the second one that drives me crazy and is one I can never get past. But I'll let you know because, you know, they are nice books. They do kind of make you feel safe and cozy. And Will and I are reading, if you're looking for a book to read to a 8, 9, 10 year old boy or girl, On the Road to Mr. Minio's by Barbara O'Connor, who wrote the wonderful How to Steal a Dog. She is a wonderful author for, I think, like 3rd, 4th, 5th grade, early middle grade fiction. A lot of her books are set in the South. She is originally from South Carolina, although she lives up in Massachusetts now. And her books are very funny, and the kids have adventures. And Will has, we have read other of her books out loud, and Will has always really enjoyed them. So I just thought I'd give Barbara a shout out. I have never met her in person, but we're kind of Facebook friends and have a lot of good fellow feeling between us, I believe. So that's one I would recommend. All right, well, I'm going to finish this up now so I can do my introduction later and get this posted later. I will have some pictures up on the WordPress site, theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. I have a picture of the finished top for the golden quilt, a picture of where I am with the mosaic blocks. I did have the thought, and see, this is so typical of me being math adverse or just stupid. I was thinking the other day, like, I need to take all those blocks off my wall and put them down on the floor because my wall is not big enough, is not wide enough for what I'm going to need across, for the number of blocks I'm going to need across. I'm like, oh, I need to put them down on the floor so I can figure out how many blocks I'm going to need across. I'm like, or I can measure the blocks, measure my bed, figure out how wide I need the quilt to be and what kind of borders I'm going to have, and I could actually do the math. That is a crazy thought. Actually just doing the math and figuring it out that way as opposed to taking 30 blocks off a board and putting them on the floor and kind of going, huh, I wonder what I need to do. Yeah, so I might even do the math. It would be nice at this point to know how many blocks I'm going to need. And I think it is mathematically possible to figure that out, to do the math. So I'm going to do the math and then I will get back to you. I hope you have a good quilty weekend. Man, I hope you have a beautiful weekend. We are going to have another lovely weekend, and then the rains are coming in. And Tuesday, we're supposed to be hit with gale force winds. There's this hurricane coming up, and there's like Arctic air coming down. It's going to be a mess. It's either not going to hit at all, or I think that everything's going to be shut down. If they're gale force winds, I'm not taking my children to school, because that's just because we'll lose electricity, among other things. So keep your fingers crossed that that mess stays offshore. I am not ready for that, but just thought I'd mention it. But we will have a beautiful weekend, and I hope to do a lot of quilting. I hope you do a lot of quilting, too, and I hope to talk to you soon. Bye.